God, as a church, we love you. We love you because you first loved us.
And
just like during the worship, we humbled ourselves kneeling before you.
We
choose to humble ourselves under your word to receive from you.
So would
you speak to us? Would you change us?
And
we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So there are a few insights I want to take out of the scripture. Right from the get-go, there are a few characters. We see Jesus. We see some confused disciples, which is quite
normal.
We see a large crowd of people and we see this little boy. And what we often try and do is we try and put ourselves into the story. And obviously we can't be Jesus.
So then
we would normally try and say, okay, well, we're the disciples. We obviously need to learn a lesson. I used to think, oh, I'm the little boy in the story. And when Jesus needs something, he can come to me and I'll give him what I have. What's that, Jesus? You're happy that I'm on your team? Oh, great. Don't worry, Jesus. I've got what you need here. You use this. And some time ago, as I was praying, I felt like God say, you're not the little boy. You're not the disciples. You're that loaf. You're the pain. You're the bread. And as I started to think about that, I started to get excited.
Because
that bread is very ordinary. It's limited. It'll be consumed quickly. But in the hands of Jesus, it's miraculous. And you know, sometimes we like to think we're very special, and oh, God's so happy that we're on his team. But actually, the miracle happens in the hands of Jesus. And just like that word we heard, if we try and survive just as bread in our own hands, we'll end.
There
will be a limited amount of power, a limited amount of help that we'll be able to get from ourselves. So I want to speak about us being a loaf in the hand of Jesus. I've got 3 points that I want to work through. Each point we can preach on for an hour. So I hope you don't have any plans for the next 3 hours. That's a joke, just calm down.
Yeah.
No one laughed. Everyone was like, okay. I realized every time I come, Malagasy don't like short meetings.
We
had a short meeting, the one worship evening on the camp. It was only an hour.
1 hour of worship.
And we ended it because we needed to get up early. And you just saw people go, we're worshiping, huh? Why are we done? Everyone was so confused. They went back to bed like. So the first point is let Jesus take you. You see, what happens is this little boy brings all that he has to Jesus.
And
Jesus receives what he has. And what that means is if we're coming to Jesus, we can't just bring a little piece of ourselves. Breaking off a little bit of bread and saying, here, Jesus, have this area of my life. Jesus doesn't want one area of your life. He wants
all
of you. He wants every bit of you. I can imagine this little boy being fully trusting in Jesus. Because I think he would have realized at that point, there are a lot of people, and I don't have that much. So if I'm
going to
give my lunch to Jesus, I'm trusting he's going to feed me. It doesn't say he had 5 loaves and he gave 4 to Jesus and he kept some so that he would stay fed.
Since
he gave everything to Jesus. And that's a beautiful analogy for us to look forward to what Jesus did on the cross. You see, Jesus doesn't call us to do something he hasn't already done. See, on the cross, Jesus didn't expend his energy just to a point. He didn't get near death and then, he gave himself completely for us. And by him doing that, he is saying, you can fully trust me.
So
he's not a God who just rules like this from up top. He actually came to earth and bled all of his blood, poured out all of his life. When you think of a relationship between two people, it doesn't work if you only give 50%. You need to give all of yourself to the other person to have relationship. If I give 50 and they give 50, then I'll see, are they holding back? So I'll give 49.
And then
they'll see that I'm giving 49. They go, I'll give 48. Then I'll see they're giving 40 and I'll give 46. And then we're back at the dig trying to bargain for prices in our relationships. And what Jesus does right at the onset, he says, here's 100%. It's done. I've done it all. Now for us to give our whole selves to him, instead of feeling lack, we can be full. Because that little boy would have eaten just as much as everyone else, because Jesus provided. When I was 16, I was in a difficult space. And in many ways, I was trying to survive just by myself, eating little bits. Didn't know about Jesus. And every one of us, we get hungry and we get thirsty spiritually. So the bread that I started eating was drugs and girls and alcohol. Trying to satisfy myself from my own hand. Trying to provide for myself with my own strength. And what happens is we finish what we have. We always end up short. We always end up short. And Jesus, when we give our lives to him, he's able to satisfy us.
You see,
when I start getting tired, I often try to hold back a little bit of energy. And I'll say to God, God, you know, I'm tired. I can't give myself fully to these people. And I hold a little back. And God says to me, no, you must pour yourself out completely like I did. Just like the people when they were in the desert and God had to provide food. Every morning there was manna on the ground and he said, you gather for the day. Every day you gather. Don't try and keep some and look after yourselves. I'll look after you. It was an act of faith for them to trust that God would provide food the next day. Some people didn't believe and they tried to keep some and it became full of maggots. And I sometimes do that. I try and keep back energy. I say, okay, God, I'll trust you here, but in my finances, I'm going to make my own plan.
And
what happens? My finances become full of maggots. And God goes, what are you doing? And I say, God, but what's happening here? I'm not being looked after. And he says, yeah, but you need to give it all to me. Not some, all. The more I get to know Jesus, the more I realize I can give my entire self to him. And I'll be satisfied. Second point. This is a challenging one. I don't like this one. But I'll show you and I'll teach it because it's true. And I'll be honest, I struggle with this. We need to let Jesus break us.
It's a difficult point to hear.
No one wants to be broken, right? See, when we come to Jesus, Jesus doesn't just fix us. We heard that scripture about having to give sacrifice for sins. How in the Old Testament, the priests would have to sacrifice bulls and pigeons and goats and sheep and...
And
if Kim was a pastor in the Old Testament, he'd be covered in blood all the time. You wouldn't want to come have a coffee with him. You wouldn't want to come have a coffee with him and say, would you help me through this problem?
But
shake your hand and there'd just be blood everywhere. That's what the priests used to do. They used to just pour out blood all the time. And that stopped with Jesus.
See, one sacrifice
for all. So why does Jesus have to break us? Why would he come to him? Does he have to break us? You see, we sometimes build foundations on other things. And when we come to Jesus, he starts to undo the things that we've trusted in. He starts to work in us. He starts to change us. And I tell you the truth, I sometimes resist that. No matter how long you've been following Jesus, we resist being broken by him. Because I want to be strong. I want to be the one who can stand up and say, yes, I've done it. But I have to remember a scripture like this, John 6. Where because the bread was broken, it was able to spread and multiply. See, there was a miracle in the breaking. Jesus looked up to heaven and he gave thanks and he broke. So every time God allows some suffering in our lives, it's so that he can show us himself. Can God trust you with a trial? Does God waste suffering on you? Or do you trust God when you suffer that he will use it for glory? You see, apart from Jesus, suffering doesn't make sense at all. In fact, it's one of the primary reasons people don't like Christianity.
Is
they say, how can a loving God allow
suffering?
But you see, when you look at Jesus broken on the cross,
he suffered more than
anyone has ever suffered. Once for all. So that our suffering would never be wasted again. So that Paul can say to us in Romans, suffering produces. Suffering produces character.
Endurance, hope.
Suffering apart from Jesus often just produces bitterness.
Despair,
hopelessness. But when we suffer in Jesus and we allow him to hold us in his hands. And he allows us to go through difficult circumstances. It grows us and it multiplies the influence that we can have. Someone once said to me, it's difficult to trust a leader who doesn't have a limp. It's difficult to trust a leader who doesn't walk with a limp.
Because
as we get to know Jesus, he wrestles with us. He says, come Garrett, you can't hold on to this sin. And I said, but Jesus, I like this one. Leave me with this one, Jesus, please. You can have all the others, but not this one. And because God is gracious, he always beats me. And the more I wrestle, the more I suffer. And in his grace, he disciplines me and he says, Garrett, you need to repent. And when the grace for repentance comes, and I say, you know what, God? I don't want this anymore. He uses that breaking to feed other people. My story just doesn't become about me. It then influences and draws other people to Jesus. One of the accounts says that Jesus gave thanks and then handed the bread to his disciples. So the question is, where did the miracle happen? And I wonder if the disciples even realized what was happening. Because I think the miracle actually happened in the hands of the disciples.
It
looked at this massive crowd and they thought, sheesh, we can't do this. But Jesus told us to feed people, so okay. So I could just imagine them looking at each other going, breaking the bread and going, I bet you some of them started like this. Because they're probably thinking, how is this going
to
work? But imagine their eyes as they broke and the pieces just kept staying the same size. I relate to Peter quite a bit because he's passionate.
Can
just imagine Peter going, it's, just do it, get it, everyone. Take the bread. It's from Jesus.
Because
as he saw the miracle happening, he probably got so excited. He realized God was doing something. See, when you see Jesus at life in your own life, you just see Jesus at work in your own life,
and
you start giving yourself to him fully, and you allow him to break off the sin in your life, to break off the hopelessness,
it
gives you incredible hope for other people. If Jesus can save me, the worst of sinners, he can save that person and that person and that
person.
See, as it started, the disciples were so focused on themselves. We don't have what it takes. But as they looked at Jesus and they looked around at what he was doing and they started breaking the bread, their eyes went off themselves and onto what Jesus was doing. And thousands of people were fed from one loaf and two loaves and three loaves, five loaves in total. So would you let Jesus take your life? All of you, not just a bit of you. Would you let Jesus do his work in your life? I imagine there's something that already he's highlighting to you now.
Just
putting his finger on one or two things, maybe one thing, and saying, today, leave this here. Don't take this home with you. I'm
going to
heal
this.
Maybe for some of you, you've had something weighing on you for years. And you're saying, there's no way Jesus will deal with that. I'll put that in my back pocket. I can just imagine Jesus speaking in Malagasy. And he's going, give it to me. And you're like, what, Jesus? Trying to hide what you're holding. And Jesus says, I know it's there. I know it hurts. And I know you can never deal with it by yourself. So just give it over already. Give it to me. And I'll break it off you. And watch me use even that for my glory. Third point, and we'll end on this one. We've said, let Jesus take us. Let Jesus break us. And let Jesus place us. You see, when the little boy gave himself, his bread, all that he had to Jesus, he didn't say, okay, Jesus, those five loaves, here are the conditions. There are a lot of people here, Jesus, I want you to cut them very, very thin and start distributing them. Sometimes when we come to Jesus, and I do it myself, we say, okay, Jesus, I'm giving you all of myself. But just don't call me to another country or something.
Don't
put me there with those people, Jesus. I can't love them. There's no way I can do that for you, Jesus. That's too difficult. And in a sense, we choose to cross our hands and we wait. And we say, okay, Jesus, I'll wait for you to come through for me. And we put our feet down and we say, I'm staying here. But God's got wonderful plans for us. He wants to place us all over the place so that we can be a blessing. For some of us, we need to hear that as stay where you are. Jesus has placed you where you are. Take off your backpack. Don't go anywhere. Stop looking at plane tickets and other countries. The grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is green where you water it. The problem with running away to another country is you take yourself with you.
Rather
let Jesus use you where you
are.
In Acts 17, it says that he has allotted the times and places that we should live.
That's
the geography, that's the road that we live in, that's our house. Jesus has planned it that you would be here for this time. So throw down your roots. Trust that Jesus has placed you. It's a challenging thing to throw down roots in one community. But a lot of Christians, they live like a pot plant. They like to stay mobile, they don't want to be too vulnerable and share. And the scary thing is when you actually start to throw down your roots, you might realize you're not as deep as you might have thought. We need community around us. We need leaders over us. Scriptures teach us to trust our leaders, obey our leaders, submit to our leaders. It's God's plan for us to be in a local church. See, when we give ourselves to Jesus, we start to follow his ways. We listen to his word, we obey what it says. Now that might sound like a scary thing if you've never done it. You might still be looking into the claims of Jesus and wondering, why must I obey him? But remember, he was broken for us. He fulfilled all the conditions for us. He did what we could never do to get us to God. So when he calls us to obey him, it's because he's already done everything we needed to do. So our obedience to him is an act of love, not a request for sonship. Because Jesus was broken for us, we can have life. So we then obey out of life, not as a request for life. Some of the disciples might have actually watched this experience. Even though they were right there, they might not have got too involved. Jesus told them, go into that group and to that group and to that group and share the bread. And just like teams that I've been involved in, some people they go, oh, okay, great, great.
And
they just hide somewhere while everyone else is serving and they go in. And they pretend to be busy, really, really busy somewhere, but they're not doing anything.
And
I tell you, you miss the miracle when you're not involved. Are you serving in this community? Are you giving of your time and of your talents and of your treasures, all that God's given you? Or again, are you holding a little bit back, not sure if Jesus will provide? My challenge to us is to actually give ourselves completely. We'll see the miracle of God's provision. We'll see other people's lives flourish. And we, like the disciples, will say, just take it all, take everything I have, take everything. Because I haven't been bought for myself, I've been bought for everyone else. For Jesus, for everyone else. I hope that you remember this. Because often this is a breakfast here. Maybe a lunch. Maybe a snack. And we, when we remember that Jesus was broken for us, when Jesus gave all of himself, he said to the Father, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus gave it all. He allowed himself to be broken. And he said to the Father, anywhere, anything you want me to do, I'll do. And he told us to remember him by breaking bread. To drink in the cup. Because he was trying to say, do not forget, this is not about you. You will get to the end of yourself, but I will never end. So as much as this message is for me, I hope that we would receive it.
We'd
put ourselves completely in Jesus' hands. Allow him to work in us. All the work he wants to do. And say yes to everywhere he wants us to go. We need a soft heart and hard feet. A soft heart to respond to God and a hard feet to go anywhere he wants us. Let's not have a hard heart and soft feet. Saying no to God. And then, oh please Lord, don't place me here, this is tough. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you broke your own body for us. You never call us to do something you haven't already showed us. And you want to really empower us to be and to do. So we choose to give ourselves to you. Because you gave yourself for us. We choose to allow you to break us and to be used by you. Because you were broken for us. And we say yes to you placing us. Leading us to go to the places and the people that you want us to go to. Because you, Jesus, did exactly what you saw the Father doing.
Satria nou de sosio te tena nan